You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, as we open a prayer meeting, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 26. And in the process, we shared last time that after Christmas, what do? God gives, we get gifts and we open them, don't open them, use them, don't use them, etc. And Christmas is God giving of his Son. And God gave his Son. That's a gift. He's the gift. And in the process of that, he does, and that gift needs to be exercised and enjoyed. It's a wonderful gift. It is an unspeakable gift. It is beyond all words. All human language, it is. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you keep in mind also in the process that in Adam we all sin. We're all out of Adam. All of us humans, when Adam and Eve, and out of Eve came Cain and Abel and Seth and all of them. And here we are. And we're all in the same line, all in the same family. Now, in the process, God promised Adam and Eve a Savior, Genesis 3:15. And the Savior was promised, and they believed. They believed, and we share together that Eve, when she had Cain, thought maybe that would be the Savior. Is Cain the Savior? Is Cain the man? And of course he isn't. So they know. They know very much that God has provided a Savior. And they were looking for him out of the seed of the woman. So we can somehow sense a little bit. Matthew chapter 27. And you would please note, when he had him in the garden, he's going to go and die on the cross. And going to do it. And on the cross, he dies. And in the last 3 hours, noon to 3 o'clock that time, God forsakes him in his humanity, not his deity. And we share together over the years. We have no idea what that is. Because we don't know what it is to have a awesome, full, perfect relationship to somebody and to all the wonder of God and then have to drop it all, knowing everything, having everything, and being forsaken of it all, being abandoned, literally. We have no idea what that is. I have no idea. Because we're born in sin and we have no idea what it is to be separated from sin. Because we're born in sin. Therefore, so God, here he is, and I need to get the sense of it because I want to get the other side of the coin. Verse 45, 27, 45. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in those 3 hours, you would recall, and we are reminded, that he bore our sin in his own body. What is sin? The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. What is death? Death is the absence of life. It's the absence of a relationship. We shared it on Sunday. We're all dead and trespasses. We're born that way. We live that way. 7 billion plus people, more or less, they're out there. More or less are what? They are separated from God. That means they have no relationship to God at all. They're walking, work, home, school, play. They have no relationship to God. They know that. They have it to religion of some kind maybe, but not to God. They don't have that. Nope. Because they're born dead. So what did you do on Calvary's cross? God went to the cross, and the wages of sin is death. He had to die. What is death? It's the absence of life, the absence of a relationship to God. And he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In totality. Why? In order to identify and pay the penalty, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now God, he had to pay for the penalty of death. That is right. He went and became bankrupt, if you would. Totally zero about God. Knowing God's existence, but having no benefits. Now, that helps us, if you can understand that a little bit, we're ready to tackle the next thing. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over to Second Corinthians, and in chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 may pick up the thought directly in verse 21, 5 and 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on our behalf, who knew no sin. Why did he do this? That we might be made the righteousness of God, where? In him, in Christ. Christ is to be our righteousness. So God, you're looking to recover and make possible a relationship back. You want to restore the relationship that sin took away and the Savior makes possible. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do, to make it right so that we can have the rightness that God requires, and we can have that rightness in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, having the rightness opens the door for what? Over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. And in opening the door for the next thing, you can't have anything if it's wrong, it has to be right. So here's chapter 8, moving along. And picking up for time and all of that, verse 9. For you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, abounding in everything, yet for your sakes he became poor, without it, poverty, having nothing. Why? That's why he went, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Left and having nothing. That purpose, that we, through his poverty, why did God, you have forsaken me? Why? That through his poverty, we might be rich. Rich. Now hang on to that. We who are dead, say it another way, we who are dead can have life. Chapter 9. And in chapter 9, may I pick up, please, directly in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound in which direction? Towards you. Why? That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we've got in verse, God, you're saying it, everything you say is so full, and it should be. God is able to make all grace, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So God, you're making it so that the believing heart is now able to go, you died on the cross, to make and recover our relationship to you. Our relationship to you is one of riches, and you do it in such a way that we can overflow with all of the benefits here and now. And we shared all that Sunday then. Therefore, if any man, a woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. When? The moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most believers, that if they're saved, assuming they're saved, that never clicks. It should click. How do you know it never clicks? All you got to do is look at history and look around you. That's all you got to do. Go out and look at the world. It isn't a big research project. It's easy. Now, so God, here we are, and you've made it so that we could have everything as new creatures. Now, in the process, we just read, I read it slowly a little bit, chapter 9, verse 8, you make all grace, etc., etc. I want that. I'm interested in God's little words that are repeated over and over and over. Now, over to Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you would recall, may I go directly again? I'll read verse 31 since it's so enjoyable. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the light of everything, if God be for us, who can be against us? In the light of everything out there. Now, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he went bankrupt, dead spiritually, in order that we could live spiritually and be rich. Rich. Now, how rich? How rich? As rich as he is. Now I'm going to give you an illustration, then you keep that in mind as we do it. I'm going to pick it up, I think, on Sunday again, because I want you to grab hold of it. If you would, just think of the fact that here we are, little, make believe you're little, and you're raised in a home. And in the home, you're there. Do you have to think about what's in the refrigerator? Nope. Do you have to think about the laundry? Nope. Do you have to think about the news items and the world crises? And no. Why not? Because you're in the family, and the father and mother, that kind of thing. They're there to keep track and do everything. Now, in the home, here they are, and here you are. You'll have a little whatever you have to play with or something to do with. And in the play, you do that. But you're in the home. Do you not, you're only a year old, do you not have already all of the benefits of that home? But you aren't using them? No, you're not. All you're doing is you're living in the middle of them. And they are there for you every year you grow, 5 years old, 20 years old, etc. And they're there. And all you do is keep learning to be able to have possession of them as needed. And the parents make sure that they have them. But we don't. We're just the children. But they're all ours. And whatever we need, would they not? Think of Luke. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more I will give you the Spirit of God. How much more I. God, with him, he gives us freely all things. So do you understand? You have everything, but you can't use it? It isn't a question you don't have it. It isn't a big, you don't have big pockets, a big thing. You don't. No, it's all there. But it's there, harnessed, kept in the family, father, to handle it. And it's there always. Hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, shall he not, verse 32, give us all things? All things. Now, God, you're going to do that? Uh-huh, I am. With Christ, I'm going to give you all things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You know, verse 28, and we know that, what? Romans 8, 28. We know that, what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How many things? Work, all things. And everything isn't good, but everything is going to work out because you're looking to the Father to take care, and the Father's going to take care because he said he is. And that's what he is. He isn't a slave owner or something. He's a father. He isn't an employer. He's a father. Now, the father of the Son, who died on the cross and rose again, and you received him, if you did, as your Savior, God made you a new creature in Christ in the family, in the Father. The Father is there now. And therefore, we know that all things, verse 28, work together. I could take the next rest of the night up to the new midnight. I could keep reading. I could keep going. And I'd bury you, and just remind you over and over again what I'm reading. Watch. Romans chapter 8. And picking up, if I may, in verse 37. Nay, here we are, what we are killed all the day long, sheep counted for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So all things work together for good. They aren't good, but they work out good, come out good, no matter how you cut the cookie, as you'll see. And we know that in all these things that could happen, famine, nakedness, and everything else, persecution, peril, sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So God, here we are looking, God, and I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That includes a whole lot of things, doesn't it? Everything that's present and everything that's coming, it's all now. So what? Nothing. You're more than a conqueror. You're a new creature. You're in the family. Okay. God, what did you do? I made my son go to the deep poverty of being separated from me in order that he, paying the penalty for your sin, would die and rise again. And when you believe in him and receive him as your Savior, I am able to go and, because of him, restore all of the wonderful benefits I meant Adam and Eve to have, which they threw away. Now, so here we are looking, God, and again, all these things, all of them. And so you keep reading all and all and all and all and all and everything. And you know, I read them. I know they're beyond our comprehension because I can read them to you, but you just say it can't be. But it is. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you would note, just picking up verse 21, 3 and 21, 1 Corinthians 3 and 21. Therefore, conclusion, let no man glory in men. No. Why not? For all things are yours. If I just had, what good is it if you gain the whole world then? But you have the whole world. You have the whole world in Christ. The Father is the boss of the whole world. Therefore, I'm going to say it. I got it. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And we, believers, belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. He's the Son of God, born in Bethlehem of Judea in a most awesome way. Now, having said that, so God God, we're just going to have to, all we can do is try to get a handle on it. And you know, we aren't far away. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you will note verse 19. What? 6 and 19. What? Know you not that your body, and you've got one, each of you, you're all looking, arms, legs, nose. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Wow. Which is in you, which you have of God, where to come from God. And you are not your own, not anymore. Why not? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Christ died on the cross and paid for the penalty. And what are you living off of? You're living off of him. He paid the penalty and paid it. Where's the payment coming from? Where's the life coming from? It isn't in us. It's in him. That's where it came from. God gave it to you in his Son. So it didn't anything that God did. So no, God did something, and we don't have it. Christ died. Thank you for pardoning my sin, paying the penalty. I don't have anything still. God had to rise again, and I had to believe and receive him in order to have the fulfillment of God's wonderful saving grace in my life. Now, having said that, and in verse 20, for you are bought with a great price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So does God have the whole thing? He does. You probably, not you guys, but people, the believer, he owns the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. He owns your heart and your lungs and everything. He owns the 24-hour day that he gives you. He owns your work. He owns your health and wealth and wisdom. He owns the whole thing. You're his. You're a new creature, a brand new creation. So therefore, when you can say, so I need to get that because I'm trying to get God, you need to help me, give me some. All that God said, do you understand your relationship to who I am? That I have provided for you the totality of my saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ in you. In him, you have all of God the Father for you. And the Father is in charge of everything. And therefore, whenever he talks to you, you have to understand you have all things. You have all things. You can't have half of them. You have all of them. Wow. Uh-huh, that's right. Do it again. Peter over. 2 Peter. We may not get very far, but God, you got to help us. Because that's what it's all about. And we go to work, we go to home, we go to school, we do everything, we live our little lives. Oh, then God, if we get stuck, God will look to you. And no, God's a whole new world. a whole new existence. And at all times, you have everything. But at any given moment, you're only five, maybe back to your children illustration, you're only 5 years old. And you don't need a $100 bill. You're only 5 years old. So relax. Is the $5 bill there? Absolutely. A $100 bill. But you don't need it. Don't need it, no. My God shall supply all your need. Is that what it says? Huh. But you don't need it yet. It isn't that you don't have it. You don't need it. Think of the martyrs back in the turn of the in the days of 300 AD and all that, persecution and martyrdom and the arena and the torches and the animals, etc. And God, and you read, what are you, God, here we are, and I'm all afraid. And in the testimonies that are recorded or made known, the testimonies, they're about to be burned. About to be eaten. Here comes the big lion. And God, they just look to God. And God, you help. You don't have that kind of faith now. Do you have the kind of faith now that can go in front of the big lion? Are you ready? They're all boned up to go. Here comes the lion coming down the aisle. And it looks at you. You are delicious. And he's looking at you. Here comes the lion. Wow. Are you ready? No. But when the realities come, you only have faith as you need it. The degree of God's movement is as you need it. Samson, do you need to be able to lift the gates over hundreds of pounds? Hundreds of pounds, the gates. And carry the gates, I don't know how many miles, up a hill and put them down. Could you just do that? No. But when God's ready, you could lift an elephant. If God wants to. But don't walk around to the average elephant and say, would you please bend over so I could pick you up? You have to have a need. And when the need is there in the Father, he gives you everything. For the strength, for the endurance, for the understanding, that's what he has to do. Now, so here's Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, may I pick up please in verse 3. According as it is, according as his divine power hath given unto us, and there's your little, two little words, according as his divine God's power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through, where do we get them? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God, you gave us a wonderful, wonderful calling. You called us to be your, in your honor and your glory. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, God's nature, be children. If you didn't get that, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gives you the gift of what? Eternal life. That's his person. You now have a relationship to time in this body. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have a unique relationship to that which is timeless, to God's uncreated life, to God's life. Wow, that's what you have, a unique, his nature, his life, a relationship. Now you are sons of God, children of God. Wow. Be holy, walk in the light as he is in the light, etc. Now, So here we are, I'll read verse 4 again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God, you did that. I did. Wow. Over to 2 Corinthians, and chapter 2. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and you will notice in verse 14, you know it, wonderful section as we did 2 Corinthians. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, to prevail, to have the victory. Where? Where? In Christ, who has what? He's the boss. He's the Son, the Father, everything. There's nothing that he isn't over, that he owns. He owns it all, says it all, can do it all. Therefore, to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, public, clear, plain, simple, the Savior, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. So in order to do that, God, you'd have to provide whatever we need when we need it. Oh, that's right. Whatever you need, when you need it, I have to provide it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, and you have to have your normal life. I do. We do. And we have to go to work, to home, to school. We have to do all of those things. And we do them. And they're normal things. Because it's part of being alive on planet Earth. Our Lord had to do the same thing in many of these areas. He had to do the same thing. He lived a daily life in an extraordinary way. That's what he did. Now, and so we have to live that life. So that's what you want us to live. I do. I want you to live that life in an extraordinary way. I want you to do so with the understanding that I am going to go, and you are a new creature in Christ, and I want you to know that you have all things. There's nothing missing. So tomorrow morning, when you have whatever it is, there's nothing missing. God, you're there, for whatever you need. Whatever you need, and that's true. Now, over to Matthew 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and you know, and as you read through verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 20, et cetera, et cetera, that God, the birds don't have a problem, the flowers don't have a problem, no problem with any of that, none whatsoever. And verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, God, why would you bother growing another batch of grass? And seeds keep reproducing over and over. The dandelion and everything else keeps reproducing. We get rid of it, it keeps coming. God, it doesn't quit. No, it doesn't. And we don't control it. We don't just stop it unless we make it all blacktop, and then you can't, there's nothing going to grow. But that isn't, we don't do that. So now, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more, clothe you of ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? Because why? After all these things do the Gentiles say. The unsaved person is trying to survive and succeed. They want to find and be secure. They want to be safe, etc. And all of those things. Now, and therefore, that's what they do. But, you got saved. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And God has taken over that piece of territory that he died for to recover that which he created, you and I, to be able to enjoy a relationship to God. So that God, God could be his wonderful person, as he intends to do and be in the human heart. And thus, verse 32, now, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of, and then you have the three words, all these things. All these things. We got, trying to survive. You want to, have you got your right cough medicine? Have you got your pills? Have you got this? Have you able to overcome? We don't. We're trying to survive and get, have, be, trying to do it. We're busy. Now, and God said, that's what the world's doing. But you aren't doing that, are you? You have a heavenly Father. And you don't do that. You could win the lottery. Someone said they could win the lottery. A couple of dollars. You know, I don't even know how to win a lottery. I couldn't even conceive of a number. You know, wow. You don't have to. You aren't looking for the lottery. You aren't looking for anything. You're trusting me, your heavenly Father, who bought you with a price. You're not your own. And I am providing all need in all things, which you have all things because you have me. That's why you have it all. You're raised in the Father, the house. He has everything. That's right. Now, therefore, verse 23, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. Now you're going to do that, God. I am. While you're here, even taking time to do it. Matthew chapter 6, just turn over a page maybe. Chapter 6, Matthew, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth, remember the whole Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all about God the Father, and we did all of that. Now, chapter 6, verse 8. And be not now therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. That's right. That's right, because he knows everything. He knows the need. Now, in closing, over if you would, I guess. Over in Ode to Philippians. If I can, Philippians. We have a unique, wonderful relationship, and God provides whatever you eat and drink, yet you do. You go to work, you go to school, you go home, you do everything you try to do, do it the best you can, trusting God, and that's what you do. And that's how you grew up. That's how you do now, as an adult, isn't it? You're trying to kid your life, work, home, the refrigerator. You do the best you can. That's all you do. The best you can. That's all you do. That's right. All you do. And God, you know the difference. So we aren't able to do everything, though we are able to have everything, to do everything, if we need to do everything. But if you don't need to do everything, you don't need everything. And therefore you can, watch it. Verse 19, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God, verse 20, and our Father be glory forever and ever. The Father. Well, who's going to get the glory in all this? We can't understand it. All we can do is enjoy it. That's all you can do. When you were growing up, that's all you could do. All you can do is try to enjoy the parent. I don't even understand that. You just sort of bumble along. And when you get old enough someday, we wake up and say, wow, God, how things work out. Now, so here's Philippians chapter 4. As we're looking at, and verse 11. And not that I speak in respect of want or need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, existence, wherewith to be content, sufficient. Now, how can you be sufficient? You only have a dollar in your pocket. But you have $10 million if the Father wants you to have it. If you need it. Otherwise, you only need a dollar. That's all you need. God, you're able to go, and I'm content. Paul, is that, how did you learn to be that? God had to teach me. I had to learn. My Father takes care. I didn't have to ask and get a big deal and get all rotten and wrinkled up. Wow, no. No, verse 12. For I know both how to be abased, go drop down low, humbled, humble pie. Yes, bloody nose, everything. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full, in the same breath to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. My God shall supply all your need. But you're going to have to help us, God, to have a need. That's how we're going to learn. What are we going to learn? To be content. How are we ever going to learn to be content if we aren't trusting you? Because you take care of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wow. Verse 13. I can do. Oh, there's those little words. I can do all things. How so? Through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do it all. I can lift the gates of the city and carry them miles, hundreds of pounds. I forgot how much. And drop them on the hill. I have no, but in the same breath, I can go and have a banana split with Delilah. Wow. How do you think of that? Isn't that easy? Whatever God you have in mind. And that's what Samson learned. Wow.